like, hey, bro, they told me it was going to be like 30 minutes, so I'm pacing myself. I don't want to cut my head. So then we go, and Kali comes to the door and is like, hey, they outside. We ready to roll. I said, give me 2 minutes. And I just made the full circle.
Why wouldn't you just hit the whole thing bald?
Because I didn't have enough time. It wasn't
There's always time.
There's always time.
Wait, how about a hat? A wig. A Luis Scola haircut.
Headband?
Anything. Yeah, a yarmulke. Cover that.
It was pretty bad. Not going to lie to you.
The number here is 713-439-1560. We're about to do our AstrosDaily.com segment with our friend Bob Hulsey in a moment, but I want to get into some emails. First off, talking about cool white guys that are bald, the best. A couple names came out. Matt Geiger. I don't know if he was cool.
The Geiger
kind. He was kind of thuggish, though.
Not cool.
Yeah, he played for the Heat. You would hate him.
He played for Charlotte, too.
Charlotte, the Heat, and the Sixers, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, not good. John Barry, very cool white guy. Bald.
Really cool. I love him. I think the station owes him money. That's what I hear. John and Lance.
We owe him money?
John and Lance.
For what?
Some kind of bet they made.
Interesting.
Not us, though.
What about... Okay, we talked about Vic Mackey from The Shield. We are going to have Michael Chiklis on the show when the show returns. I am friends with... not friends, but I'm cool with their publicist of The Shield, and she has promised us Michael Chiklis. And to me, that's going to be the best show ever. Just saying.
Hands down.
You only... Are you friends with the publicist of a show with an attractive woman?
There's some hot chicks on that show.
No, but...
Claudette? Claudette is fine. You know who Claudette is on that show?
No.
Google Claudette. You'll see what I'm talking about. She is incredible. Incredible. Okay? Claudette.
So we're going to have the commish on? Is that what you're saying?
No. He's Vic Mackey.
I remember as the commish.
Wow, somebody is
a little... He also was on Seinfeld. He was the annoying guy.
Yes, I remember him too.
Jerome Love Seinfeld. So,
the number here in Tony 1969 says, Claudette is not fine. I think she was a... God, what was the name of that show she was on? Just Google her. CCH Pounder is her name. And I'm going to get in trouble for telling you to Google, but if you ever get a chance to watch The Shield, you'll know who Claudette is.
I think she'd get in trouble for saying CCH Pounder.
That's her name. Double C Pounder.
You guys tried to get me in trouble for saying The Legend of Thumper yesterday. The guy's it's a bunny.
Call her what you want, dude.
And real quick, Keith sends in, The Shield is the Shiznick? I can say
Long
that.
Beach.
Shiznick. Best show ever. Even better than The Sopranos. If it were on HBO, it would make The Sopranos an afterthought. Your boy Patrick.
What?
When's the last season coming out? Should be coming out soon. We're going to get a person from FX here on the show. FX does some really good shows. Nip Tuck was really good for a year or two. Then it got really stupid with the Carver.
Or Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Partial nudity.
Oh, wow. Would you?
She's a man. I mean, not that men on men can't do what they do, but I'm just saying I can't roll with them like that.
Mark that. Can we make this a real sports show again?
Opening day is coming.
Mr. Halsey, I apologize for the fluff that we just had, as some people would call it, but you never know what we're going to talk about on this show.
I was starting to think that maybe I should be reading less of the sporting news and more of TV Guide so I could be up on things.
We can definitely talk a little bit sports, too, but for some reason, when we start talking about TV shows, people just start getting crazy. We start getting our calls.
Well, it's just one of those days.
One of those days. Okay, my friend, let's start things off with opening days tomorrow. We've got the big matchup, PV and Roy. But the big news that came out yesterday, which I don't think a lot of people were surprised, Woody is gone.
Walking papers.
Well, and I was surprised about that simply because I really didn't expect the Astros to eat that $6 million contract. That showed me something with regard to Ed Wade and also, obviously, Drayton McClain. Obviously, the boss has to sign on when you're letting that sort of money disappear. So I think that it would have been an easier decision if some of the other Astro pitchers had stepped up and really taken control. But let's just face it, Woody didn't seem to have it very much. And I felt that it was a key thing that he insisted that he was feeling good, that he was hitting his spots. So he was essentially saying, well, I'm pitching the best I can. And my reaction would be, if that's the best you can do, then it's probably time to hang it up.
I completely agree with you. Look, I understand he's a competitor, and he's upset that the media wrote him off. But when your ERA, what was it this spring, 9, 10?
11.32.
11.32.
And you're making big time money. It's to be understood that people aren't going to really want you on the team. It makes sense.
Well, it does. Now, there's also a chemistry aspect. He was a very respected veteran. Obviously, had friends on the ball club.
But he sucked last year. He was terrible, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. Is if he had a great year last year and he had a bad spring, that's one thing. But he was horrendous last year.
Yeah, well, horrendous may be stretching it a bit.
I mean, passionate.
He did win eight games, and he did have some games that were, you know, fairly strong outings, but then the bullpen came in and blew it up. So he was just sort of a no-luck pitcher as well as not living up to expectations.
The number here is 713-439-1560. We invite all of you from AstrosDaily.com to participate. We're reading the boards. We'll get to some of those questions as well. And we will also take your calls and emails at GameTime@1560thegame.com. If you want to watch us in the studio, make a fool of ourselves dancing during the breaks, you can do that on 1560.tv. Just go to 1560thegame.com and you'll see the television. Click on that and you can check it out.
Bob, obviously with Woody gone now, your thoughts, is Chris Sampson, I mean, obviously they're saying he's number five. Is he gonna make some headway for the rotation, or is he just, was Woody just that bad they had to plug somebody else in?
Well, Chris Sampson is a fellow that doesn't have a lot of upside, but he doesn't have a lot of downside either. I mean, he's essentially somebody who doesn't have smoking stuff, but he generally has good control. And if his control is on, then he's able to keep the hitters off balance, and he's able to be effective. Now, of course, somebody who pitches that way, all it takes is for a little bit to go wrong, and all of a sudden you're not looking so good.
Yeah, I mean, that Woody Williams obviously was a big, you know, the fifth starter was going to be a big thing for the Astros. Also, Jose Cruz Jr. making the fifth or the last outfielder spot.
Yeah, and that was something that I know there were some hurdles that had to be cleared, but let's face it, he just hit and hit and hit all spring long. How could you not give him the job? It just seemed like that if he wasn't going to make the team, that there had to be some other reason besides his on-field performance, and I'm very happy for him. I think that obviously the Astros are kind of happy that he played so well because it will give them a little extra promotional lift to be able to have the son of one of their former stars. And I found out something interesting going to the Astros website yesterday that he is not Jose Cruz Jr. He and his father do not share the same middle name. So all these years I've been calling him Jr., he's not a junior.
Because his middle name is Luis, I think.
Yeah, he's Jose Luis Cruz, and his father is Jose something with a D Cruz. And so I've gotten used to calling him Junior, and I'm now going to have to get out of that habit. So.
What's crazy, on his bio, you're right.
He's junior for the Astros.
But no, on his bio it says Jose Luis Jr. I mean Jose Luis Cruz, and then on the biography and career highlights it says Jose L. Cruz Jr.
There you go.
Well, and another name that I found interesting when I looked at it is our newest left-hander, Wesley Wright, is not.
I like Wesley Wright.
Well, go look at his name. It's Dequam LaWesley Wright. And I guess out of that, maybe Wesley's the best you can make out of it.
Well, he goes by Wes. I talked to him at, what was it? At
Friday? Was it Friday?
No, I talked to him a couple weeks back at the Elite Camp, and he goes by Wes for the most part. So, but I'm excited about him making the team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he's, I mean, he's somewhat a slightly built guy, and I've started nicknaming him Winky after the boxer, Winky Wright.
Winky Wright.
So I don't think they'll catch on, but,
You know what? We're going to make a push for that right now. Start, Roddy, go. Call him Winky. Go.
Winky.
There we go. See? We're starting it. Hey, the number here is 713-439-1560. The email is gametime@1560thegame.com. We've got a lot more with Bob Holsey. Bob, I'm going to give you a quick thing. We're going to go to break in a second, but I want you to, and I'm sure you've already done this, but let's go division by division when we come back and tell me who's going to win it, who's going to get the wild card. And let's just talk about that. Let's talk about the Astros, excited. Talk about the offense. Talk about where you think these teams going to be. I think the over and under on wins this season in Vegas, last I heard, was 74?
It's a little low, yeah.
It started
maybe like 81, maybe.
I take the over if it's 74. You have to take the over.
500, yeah.
And by the way, Bob, we kind of touched on it, but I'm excited about Chris Sampson as the number five starter. I have no problem with him being number five. If he's your number two, I got issues. And I got issues with the Astros 2 through 5.
I was about to say, what about 3 and 4?
But, you know, Brandon Backe, I like him. I don't know if he's number two. Wandy.
Chacon.
Sean Chacon. I don't know what to think there. But it is the AstrosDaily.com segment. We've got much more with Bob Holsey. If you want to get in on the action, 713-439-1560. Ask your questions. It's time to talk Astros, folks. I know there's a lot of Texans or Texas basketball to be talked about, Houston Rockets. But right now, we got the Astros about to get the stuff going. Tomorrow, it's game time.
It's Lance Zierlein here for Gulf Coast Windows. You know, I've known Jim Fiume for quite a while now. He is the owner of Gulf Coast Windows. You know, one thing I really love about Jim Fiume is he shoots straight. He'll tell you exactly what it is about his product that makes it better than the others on the market and why you need to have it. And the bottom line is, energy bills are going through the roof. And a big problem for a lot of people is the leaky windows. And that's where Gulf Coast Windows can come in and help you out. And if you're going to make an investment like new windows for your home, don't just go with the company for the lowest prices. You need a company that you know and that you trust. You need better quality windows and a company that's been doing this for 25 years here in the Houston market. And I'm talking about Gulf Coast Windows. They're the two-time winner of the Better Business Bureau Award for Excellence, and they're going to get you the very best quality window for the very best price. Call them today and tell them Lance Zierlein sent you by. They're going to give you an additional 15% off. Just call 713-849-5454, 713-849-5454. Hey, Lance Zierlein here for our tech department. If you're a small business owner, then you've got to have your own IT department, right? Well, wrong. A lot of times small businesses make the mistake of hiring an IT guy, and IT guys swilling Mountain Dew, playing Halo, Call of Duty, and all on your buck. $50,000 a year entry level and on up? No, sir. Go with our tech department. They can handle all of your IT needs for a fraction of the cost. They can handle service contracts for small, medium, or even large-sized businesses. And the best part is, they do it for less money. Their mindset is service, and they will take care of you. And, you know, they even have service contracts available where they can replace your computers every 2 to 3 years with brand-new computers. And for home use, they've got remote support for you, data recovery if your hard drive even crashes, and even installing printers, digital cameras, MP3 players. They do it all. Call them, 713-358-6000. That's 713-358-6000. Or the website is rtechdepartment.com. That's the letter R. TechDepartment.com.
And now, a look inside the mind of John Rocker.
This is John Rocker on a mobile. Like, if you've ever seen me, you know that I kick total ass. And you know that I've got a really buff body. Yeah, I use performance-enhancing drugs. I use steroids. Like, and I've already told you, Major League Baseball kind of made me do it or whatever. But anyway, I didn't get this, like, by accident, just by steroids or whatever. I bang weights, man. I live the life, man. I eat healthy food. I see so many fat people out there running around like so fat. Kids sitting on their couches playing video games or something, man. Why don't you kids get off your couch and be kick-ass like me, man? Learn how to play a sport. Learn how to hunt. Do something productive with your life instead of sitting there being a big fat blob watching baseball games, screaming at guys who are actually doing it, making millions, getting hot women. You're just sitting there eating like Cracker Jacks with your fat wife.
Herschel Johnson here with Hit City Athletics. Did you know that there are over 195 million Americans who are overweight? Are you one of those? Are you tired of sitting around eating pork rinds and falling asleep at work? Well, guess what? I'm tired of it, too.
And Herschel, I'm tired of it, too. That's why you need to tune in to the Hit City Fitness Show on 1560 The Game. Herschel Johnson and Sean Pendergast every Monday at 7 p.m.
And whatever you do, do it with high intensity.
You can hate him now, but he won't stop now. It's game time with David Nuño.
The new boy in the neighborhood lives down the street.
Telling you, I'm great at voices.
He says just to take good care of me.
Let me tell you something. Hold on, man.
Good media, darling.
Like he's one of the family.
Ready?
Child's in charge.
You love this song, don't you? What was Charles in charge of, the old guy who lived there? The colonel? The commander? You know, when a girl says, I want Charles in charge of me, that sounds like slavery.
Oh, prostitution.
That too.
Indentured servant, something.
We're along with our Astros Rockets Texas talk. We're also doing NCAA talk. We're also doing the best shows you used to watch at home when you came home from school. Charles in Charge, Buddy Lembeck. Is there a better neighbor?
He is now like Captain Bible or something.
Bible Man.
Bible Man. There
and
go.
If for those of you who haven't gone to the podcast, you got to check out the interview we did with Willie Ames, better known as Buddy Lembeck, or the fake Willie Ames. I can explain that story, but it'll take too long. I might do it a little bit later. But those of you who have not listened to the interview on the Sean and John show with Willie Ames, you're missing out. I'm just telling you, one of the classic moments of 1560, the game when we first started. But we're here with Bob Holsey of AstrosDaily.com. Bob, I'm going to venture out and guess you never watched Charles in Charge. Just a guess.
Well, I think you're probably right there. If I did, it was just in passing.
Yes. You know what? Most of America did the exact same thing, Bob. Thanks for the laugh. All right, the number is 713-439-1560. We've got Ben on the line who wants to talk a little bit about the Astros. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Charles in Charge is a terrible show.
Right off the bat.
Just like that.
All right. I want to crack on AstrosDaily.com real quick.
Okay.
I used to post on that website, and back in May or early June, everybody was starting the threads about when they were going to start their run, and I was saying that there wasn't going to be any run, and they needed just to blow the team up and start all over. And everybody on that website went down on me saying I was a Fairweather fan and all that, so I stopped posting on that website, and I just want to say that I was right, and they did blow it up.
Well, you know, I think you're going to find that, Ben, on... You know, we get that a lot here on the show, is that it's sometimes very hard to separate fanhood from reality, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that, I'm not saying that Bob falls in that category. I'm saying I fall in it, where you sometimes don't recognize that sometimes you feel like you're not a real fan if you don't have optimism.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, you want to kind of piggyback on that?
Well, I have to say, he was probably right, and... In retrospect, it obviously was probably a good move. But I think one of the things you have to remember is that up until this past winter, it was Bagwell and Biggio's team as much as anything. And I think that the roster sort of reflected that. And I think that obviously the comments from Lance Berkman about all the friends that he's lost over the winter and such, it was... I hate to use the word inbred, but it was very much a cliquish sort of team, I thought. And the way that it has been so drastically changed over the offseason, I think has kind of said, all right, the Bagwell-Biggio era is over. Now it's time to move on. Let's rebuild this team and try to make what we can out of it. And there's also the competitive aspect. I mean, if let's say that the Astros were to totally... sell off a lot of their best players, like, say, the Marlins would, and just start all over again with young kids, is the Houston market going to be patient enough to wait 3 or 4 years for the team to be good again?
Nah, I don't think so.
Hey, Ben, how do you feel about the moves that Ed Wade made?
Oh, they didn't blow it up quite like I wanted to. I wanted them to blow it up and just start over, not bring in a whole bunch of beer league softball players.
But would you even want to blow up Roy Oswalt?
No, I mean, you know, you can keep people like that, but you just got to start over, and the farm system's a mess, and then they just traded what little pieces they had, and it's Roy Oswalt and four jokers, pretty much. It's just going to be...
So you give them no chance this year?
Not really.
So give me...
All
right, tell me how many wins they're going to have this year.
An 80, maybe.
An 80? I think that would be a nice season if they get 80. I mean, that sounds terrible to say.
That's the optimism speaking, but, you know, hopefully they can win 80. Because they got so much offense, they might be able to, you know...
Win some 12 to 10 games?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they'll score 18 runs, but they might give up 19. So, but we'll see.
We appreciate it, Ben. Thanks for calling, my friend.
Yep.
Take care. Hey, Bob, what do you think? How many wins do the Astros get this year?
I think Ben is just about right on that, because I do think they'll be better than the 73 wins they came up with last year. I'm not sure if they're going to get to 500. There's so many variables at play here that we don't really know at this point, and it's sort of like handicapping the presidential race last June. I mean, look what things looked like back then as compared to where they look now. Nobody in their right minds would have said that we might be headed for McCain versus Obama, you know, last June. So looking at where we are right now, there's just so many different variables. It's really hard for me to put a number on it. I do think that the Astros, except for a few places, are not a very deep team, which means that if they get hit with a slew of injuries this year, then they're toast. I don't really see that they're going to be able to bounce back if they get into, you know, a loss of some key players.
The number here is 713-439-1560. If you want to get in on the action, talk with Bob Hulsey of AstrosDaily.com, who joins us here on 1560 The Game's Game Time. And Bob, on the on AstrosDaily.com, we've got our favorite contributor, Ryan Ed, with some questions for you. The first question is hard for me to get across, but I'll try my best to word it properly. This is according to Ryan Ed. Do you think Brandon Bakke is capable of producing a good regular season numbers for the first time in his career? Basically, can he stay healthy and pitch to his potential, the type of potential he displayed during his postseason success?
I do think we're going to need 200 innings out of Brandon Bakke, and I would say 200 quality innings. Now, if by that I would say he probably needs to have an ERA somewhere around 4, probably get, you know, 12 to 14 wins at least to carry his load for making this team a success this year, if it's going to be a success. Now, I think that really the way things are shaping up right now, that you're really leaning on Roy Oswalt to carry the mantle, that Wandy and Bakke are kind of like the next two in line, and then with Chacon and Sampson, you're just hoping to pick up a win here and there.
713-439-1560.
Bob, obviously the Astros are going to be starting on the road and not maybe 10, 11 actually home games. How important is the start going to be for the Astros, you think, this year to achieve those possibly 80 wins?
Well, I think that the team is going to have to maintain a positive attitude because the April, I believe, if you count the Padres as being part of the postseason, and technically they weren't, but
they did
get into that one-game playoff. If you count that in, then I believe 18 of their first 31 games are against teams that made it to the postseason last year.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty, you know, stiff thing to start the season with, particularly for a team like this that is still trying to figure themselves out, trying to figure out who has what roles, you know, who's going to do this and who's going to do that. So the way I look at it is that if the Astros manage to get out of April at 500 or better, then that's a really good sign. And then if they get to the All-Star break and they're still hovering around 500, that's a really good sign, because the second half of the season is going to be what, at least on paper, looks like it's going to be the easier time. We're going to have a home-and-home with the Mets in the second half of the year, one series in Colorado, and pretty much everything else is going to be divisional opponents and some of the weaklings of the league, Florida and Washington and such.
713-439-1560 if you want to join Bob Hulsey from AstrosDaily.com, taking your calls on the Astros. We've got a great website, great message board, wonderful columnist. Ryan Ed also had a second question. Which Houston Astros player do you feel is most likely to overachieve this year, and which Astros player do you feel is most likely to underachieve this year? And that's a question for all of us here on the panel. Let's start off things with you, Bob.
Well, I read that question last night, and I've been thinking about my answer. The person that I am most concerned about in terms of underachieving would be Kaz Matsui, simply because he's starting off injured. He's replacing a local legend at second base, and I think that if he does not get off to a good start, he may, you know, it's really going to depend a lot on how he responds. Now, fortunately, he's probably the best position in terms of having a backup in place in terms of Mark Loretta. However, at the same time, he's got a 3-year deal, so we'd really like to see Kaz jump up and really take that position and assert it as his own. As far as overachieving is concerned, I'm hoping that anybody on the starting pitching staff overachieves.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I'm right with you on Matsui. I mean, he came in, had a great run, obviously, with Colorado. Doesn't help that he starts off injured. And then, most importantly for him, it's going to seem like he's underachieving, like you said, because when you roll up behind Biggio, like, Berkman kind of lucked out because he got to play, you know, some positions, some time.
Well, and Berkman is a legend, too.
With Bagwell. I'm saying when he came in, though, and then Bagwell gets hurt, so he had it a little easier. But I really hope, really, really, Hunter Pence overachieving, you know, because if he doesn't get injured.
I think he can only underachieve.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, Hunter, I mean, it's going to be tough to live up because people are expecting, oh, well, if Hunter hadn't got hurt, yada, 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 yada. But as far as overachieving, I would say Michael Bourne. I mean, he has the opportunity to set the table so much. And if the pitching staff is not there, they have to have guys on base.
Well, if the pitching staff's not there, it's like
But I'm saying though, the only way you're going to compete is you have to have a ton of guys on base and let all this hit and knock people in.
Hey, and I kind of got to agree with KMFG on the chat. He's got some really good people that I agree with. Overachiever, I hope it's Tolles. I really hope J.R. Tolles is the overachiever. And I think the underachiever could be Miguel Tejada because unless he goes back to 31 homers this year, I think no matter what, it's probably
going
to
be. Park's going to help that, hopefully.
Well, yeah, but unless he becomes the power source that he once was, and not even to that same level, I think he's going to be an underachiever, especially since his range out there at shortstop is not very good.
Short.
I tend to look at replacement value. I think that whatever Tejada contributes offensively is probably going to be a lot better than what we got from the shortstop position last year. So in that respect, I don't really see him as having the potential for underachieving as long as, you know, he doesn't get injured or wind up, you know, going to jail or anything like that. But in terms of who are they replacing and are people going to be dissatisfied with what they have this year as opposed to what they have last year, I think Tolles is also in a good position because nobody really expected a lot of offense out of Brad Ausmus. And so Tolles can get by with a season of maybe hitting 250, and people are going to go, well, you know, it would be the same as if we had Ausmus back there. So in those regards, I don't really see that as underachieving. Although if you want to look at it in terms of their potential versus what they might produce, then, you know, I think that would be probably how this person tried to answer the question, was looking at it as potential versus actual results.
Hey, let's, in the last few seconds that we have on the show, let's kind of go over each division and give me your thoughts on who's going to win it and who's going to be the wild card in each, the American and National League, and then maybe who's going to be in the World Series. Let's try that. In the AL East, who do you got, Bob?
AL East, well, obviously you've got your big two, the big dogs, and Boston looks to have the better of it right now. But
contract year for Manny.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, but I'm not really that worried about them. I figure one of them's going to make the division, the other's going to win the wild card.
If I remember correctly, actually, it's not a contract year for Manny. It's the Red Sox have his options, so if he plays well, he can still continue to bank. AL Central.
AL Central, it may be the most entertaining division, I think, in baseball. But after looking at the Tigers and Indians all spring, I mean, how can you bet against either one? Although I've got to give the nod to the Tigers. Their lineup is just loaded. It's going to be a question of whether their pitching holds up.
AL West.
AL West, you got to look at the Angels first, maybe possibly Oakland if things, you know, if the stars align just right. Texas Ranger fans, I'm sorry, you're going to have another
year
of just
dying the heat, man. They die in the heat every year.
Who's the wild card in the American League?
In the American League, I've got to give the Yankees the nod at this point, but obviously Cleveland's going to be in the mix.
Some people have Cleveland in the World Series, so it'll be interesting to see how they do.
Cleveland had Cleveland in the World Series last year.
NL East.
In the NL East, I like the Mets obviously have the talent. Philadelphia seems to have a lot of young talent. There's a lot of people still talking up Atlanta, but I'm really not sure why. And obviously Florida and Washington will be vying for the basement.
NL Central.
NL Central.
Alphabetical order.
Almost the hardest thing for me to predict because, you know, you've got the Cubs and you got the Brewers, and I see holes in both of them. So I think the Reds may be the surprise team this year. I don't really expect much out of the Pirates or the Cardinals. And then for the Astros, well, I mean, they're such a wild card at this point, it's really hard to say where they're going to fit in. But third or fourth looks most likely.
NL West.
NL West. Boy, that's another jigsaw. There's a lot of people who seem to be going with the Dodgers. I'm probably leaning towards the Colorado Rockies simply because they haven't lost very much from what they had last year. Yes, they basically just got hot at the end and maybe overachieved at the end, but at the same time, they seem to be getting overlooked a lot, and I don't know how you look past some of the guys they've got in their lineup.
All right, what about the wild card?
Wild card, at this point, I'm going to say that whoever doesn't make it out of the Mets and the Phillies is probably going to be the wild card.
And then give me your two World Series teams and your World Series champion.
I'm going to go with Detroit and okay. I'll probably go with Detroit and the Mets just as a first-glance sort of thing.
Best two off-seasons.
World champion is going to be the AL team. I think that's almost worth putting money in Vegas in.
Wow, check it out. That's Bob Halsey of AstrosDaily.com. Bob, a week from today, we will be chatting about some hopefully wins and maybe a couple losses for the Houston Astros as their season starts off tomorrow.
Let's hope so. And let me point out, too, that Game Time now has its own page on AstrosDaily.com. There's a banner link about halfway down the front page. Click on that. It gives you all the information you need to know, plus all the past sessions that we've had.
Hey, and Bob, I apologize to you for not getting back to you. These last couple of weeks with the NCAA tournament have been tough. But as always, you are wonderful, and we appreciate your time. And AstrosDaily.com taking over.
Great, thanks.
Thanks very much. Bob Halsey, catch his stuff there on AstrosDaily.com. They do a really good job. Their columnists are very informative, and they also, the message board, you know, you can, Ryan Edge is always typing good stuff up there.
Astros, man, NL Central. I mean, luckily there is no, you know, like he said, everybody has holes. Luckily, the Astros, I mean, like if the pitching is just decent, and, you know, with the ballpark, I was the Minute Maid, and there's a chance for the Astros to make it. I mean, the Brewers... Nobody, you know, Brewers have a lot of young talent, obviously, but last year nobody expected them to be two games out of winning the division.
Hey, just real quick, since we're about to go to break, I do want to read this quick little post by KV Raz. Our weights equals Gary Coleman.